Lawmakers in high-cost, high-tax blue states are looking for ways around the provision in the new Republican tax law that puts a $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions. They're known as SALT taxes. These were changes meant to offset the tax breaks the law gave big corporations. Democrats in states like California, New Jersey, and New York say those changes unfairly target them, will hurt their chances to recruit new workers or raise taxes. One solution, in his State of the State address last week, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo said he would sue the Trump administration.
Washington's tax plan now uses New York and California as piggy banks to finance tax cuts for Republican states. New York will pay an additional $14 billion on top of the $48 billion that we currently pay.
We will take up some of the plans from Democrats to end run the law tomorrow. But on the other side of the debate, conservatives like Stephen Moore. He's a fellow with the think tank, the Heritage Foundation. He was also a senior economic advisor to the Trump campaign. He's long argued for these tax changes and says instead of making local laws to circumvent the federal tax law, residents of liberal states should rise up with pitchforks and demand lower taxes, less spending, and maybe just rise up and leave. Stephen Moore joins us now. Have I got that right? You've written about this idea that people should move from New York, say, to no-tax or low-tax red states like Nevada or Texas. Move?
Well, you know, it's a brave new world out there for the states. There's no question about it that the elimination of the state and local tax deduction really changes the playing field for states, specifically states like California, New York, New Jersey, and then even states with high property taxes like my home state of Illinois. Under the old law, tax filers could write off about 35% to 40% of those taxes off their federal tax forms. Now they can't, and that makes the high taxes much more difficult for especially wealthy people to pay. And therefore, I do think you are going to see a choice that states are going to have to make. Either they're going to have to lower their taxes to be more competitive, or I do think they're going to face an out-migration of people who say, look, I can pay a 13% tax in New York or California, or I can move to Texas or Florida or New Hampshire or Nevada, states like that that have no income tax and dramatically reduce my tax burden. So it's going to be a very fascinating thing to see how these states adjust to this new tax regime.
Well, is this part of a plan? These are blue states that you're talking about, and people moving from blue states to red states, and you've been pushing for this for a long time. Is this part of a plan to destabilize blue states?
No, it's not. But I think that I have always made the argument that it's not fair for residents of low-tax states to have to pay higher federal taxes to subsidize the high taxes of states like California, New York, and Connecticut, and so on. Now, I believe in states' rights. States should be able to do whatever they want. And if you want a lot more government services and to pay higher taxes in California and New York, that's what makes our country a wonderful thing. You can choose where you want to live. But it is also true, and our evidence shows this pretty clearly, that states do pay a price for having high taxes because people do move. And I'll give you just one example. In the last 10 years, California and New York have lost 1 million residents on net to other states, whereas Texas and Florida have each gained about 1 million residents on net from other states. So you are seeing a shift gradually over time of people moving from the high-tax northeastern and coastal states on the West Coast more to the South because taxes are lower there.
I'm just going to jump in to say that in New England, we call them snowbirds. A lot of people move south for the warmth.
The weather. There's no doubt about that.
But I want to take up some of your points that you've just made.
Let me just respond to that because it is an important point. And there's no question. I mean, there are a lot of reasons that people move from one state to another. There's no question. And taxes are only one of a multitude of reasons. But, you know, if it were only weather, you know, why are people moving from San Diego, California to Houston, Texas?
I want to take up your point, though, that you and others make that there's an unfairness to this.
Yeah.
And House Speaker Paul Ryan, speaking with the president of your organization, again, the Heritage Foundation, back in October, made this point that it's, you know, red states subsidizing blue states, again, because the blue states, they have the much higher taxes, but they get tax returns to their citizens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to Paul Ryan.
Things like state and local deduction, which I would argue we're propping up profligate big government states, and we're having states that actually got their act together pay for states that didn't. I think Wisconsin versus Illinois. That's what rushes to my mind.
As an Illinoisan.
Yeah, I know. That's why
that.
So these are the issues that we have to help members see the big picture.
But Stephen Moore, there are others who make the argument that, yes, people in the blue states where there's much higher taxes do get returns, federal returns, and those are federal dollars that others pay into. But they also pay the higher taxes that they would say subsidize the red states. The red states that are not paying these high taxes, on average, get far more federal dollars than the taxes that they actually pay. The Atlantic did a study of this. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. South Carolina, for instance, takes in nearly $8 for every dollar its residents pay in taxes. And those dollars come from the blue states.
Right. And the irony is that the blue state representatives and senators are the ones who vote for all this government spending. I mean, they tend to, if you look at the National Taxpayer Union, what we find is that the representatives of the blue states tend to be much more pro-spending than the representatives of the blue states.
Well, but what would you not spend on? Let's look at schools. Let's look at child care. Let's look at, you know, single moms with kids. You know, people would say, you know what? Massachusetts, New York, they have education. They have job creation, and they are helping other states that don't pay the taxes, you know, build their roads, do the things that they're not paying for.
Well, let me give you an example, because this is a great point, and it's worthy of debate. So I just looked at the numbers about how much state and local spending per capita is in, for example, New York State, which has the highest state and local spending per capita of any state. They spend about $13,000 per resident. Then I looked at other states like Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is booming. They have great public services. They have good schools. They have good police and fire protection. And they spend $6,500 per person. So think about this. New York State gets worse public services than Tennessee does, but Tennessee spends half per person what New York does. So the point is that how much you spend doesn't necessarily dictate how good your schools are. If that were the case, then, you know, I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Chicago would have the best schools in the country. In fact, Chicago has about the worst schools in the country.
Well, you can bat these back all day. Historian Bruce Schulman writes in the Washington Post about Massachusetts, which happens to be his home state and would be, again, a big loser under this new tax blueprint. He says, you know, Massachusetts ranks number one in the latest U.S. News Survey of Education. South Carolina is at the bottom. You know, it just you could bat these back and forth.
Yeah, but look, you can look at, you know, one state versus another. But if you just look at all 50 states and do a correlation, there is virtually no relationship spending per pupil in states versus the quality. Iowa and Utah are states that spend very little per person, and they have some of the best schools. But there's another point I think that's really important here, which is under the new tax regime, because we doubled the standard deduction, now you can write your first $24,000 of income is tax-free if you're a family. And that what that means is that well over 90% of Americans are no longer going to take deductions. In other words, they're just going to check the box and not take any deductions for charities, for mortgage, for state and local tax deduction. And what that means is that virtually, I mean, this is a little exaggeration, but not much. It's only the 10% richest Americans that will take the state and local tax deduction.
Okay. And you've made your point. And then two that are made by people who support keeping SALT the way it is, capping it, changing the current structure, and perhaps encouraging people to move to states that have a lower or no taxes in different areas, is going to strain state budgets, not just the ones that where you've changed the structure, but it's going to absolutely strain the budgets of the states where people are moving who don't have the tax policy, which is going to require more federal dollars. And you at the Heritage Foundation are for less government spending. And also changing these policies to make way for the tax cuts for the very rich and corporations is upwards redistribution, is giving the money to the more wealthy. Any kind of redistribution doesn't seem to be a Heritage policy. So just respond to those.
Sure. A couple of things. I mean, first of all, it is flat out false to say that eliminating the state and local tax deduction is a regressive policy. It's actually progressive because the people who are most angry about losing the state and local tax deduction are very, very, very rich people, millionaires and billionaires in very high income states like Massachusetts, New York, California, and so on. So by eliminating the state and local tax deduction, we actually make the tax code more progressive than it would otherwise be. That's point number one. Point number two, it is, in my opinion, wrong to say that states are losers in this tax reform. We believe that over the next 10 years, since starting right away, that economic growth will be substantially higher as a result of this tax bill. So I don't agree with this, that states and localities are losers. They are winners in this tax reform because the economy will be bigger. They'll have more taxpayers.
Stephen Moore, distinguished fellow with the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.